Welcome to the Cold Steel Surgical Podcast with your hosts, Amir Farouk and Chad Ball.
Welcome to another General Surgery Residency Highlight. This is another rebroadcast from last year with Dr. Sender Lieberman of McGill University. Enjoy.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Cold Steel Podcast. Could you tell us a little bit about the Montreal General Surgery Residency Program?
Our program is quite a large program, maybe not the biggest in Canada, but we have a fairly good sized program with between 8 and 10 new first-year residents each year. We span a pretty good swath of Montreal's teaching hospitals, although we're not the only teaching center in Montreal. We have very big university centers. We have affiliated teaching hospitals, and we have some community hospitals that really make up the clinical side of our program. We have a pretty long history of excellent graduates and excellent teachers as well, quite a bit of strong research, both output and opportunities for trainees to partake in. It's a great place. I trained at McGill many, many years ago, and it's been a lot of fun coming back as program director almost 20 years later. And so I'm very excited to play a part in this program.
Well, McGill has a very good reputation nationally, and I might even add internationally. So you talked a little bit about the research, the breadth of different environments where trainees work. What are some other highlights or strengths that you want to talk about for the McGill General Surgery Program?
One of the things that our residents always comment on, and something that we notice, but also foster in the program, is that despite being a fairly large program, we really have a family feel to the program. All the residents know each other. The majority of attendings and residents really have a close relationship in terms of knowing each other and knowing each other's background, but also skills and capabilities. We're really the type of program where if you have a problem, and everyone has problems from time to time, and every program has issues, it's the type of program where you can bring those issues to us or to the General Surgery Residence Committee. And we really take those things seriously and look at how we can improve things for residents. And so people always ask about strengths of a program. Well, I think our biggest strength is the ability to deal with problems when they happen. And at the same time, serving out an excellent teaching program that really leaves nothing left to guess about when you're heading towards your exams 5 years later or so.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. But, you know, there's no question. I think all the Canadian programs can put graduates in any fellowship or job that they probably desire. But I'm curious, when it comes to McGill, what is the flavor? What have your graduates gone on to do in general? What's that sort of fellowship versus direct entry into their first job mix?
Yeah, so we have always made sure that anyone graduating could just go work in a general surgery position somewhere. We make sure that they have all the skills that a community general surgeon or even an academic general surgeon would need. That being said, we do have a lot of fellowships at McGill, and so the residents are often exposed to those things. And it's very few of our residents that don't go on to fellowship afterwards, partly because maybe the strong research component, which really fosters an academic flavor to the program. And so the residents, when they're going through our training, will often really start to seek out fellowship training opportunities. And while I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness, it's just how it is. And we make sure that everyone has the training that they need. Our Royal College requirements for graduating residents that are competent and safe, definitely we do that. Because there's such a high exposure to a lot of very subspecialized work, I think that piques the interest of a lot of the residents who can see themselves in careers in more subspecialized areas that fellowships would offer them. I looked recently back at our last 10 years of graduates, and I would say there's maybe only been about two or three graduates over those 10 years that have gone directly into general surgery practice. So although we're definitely open to someone who wants to do general surgery, and many who have come into the program have said that as well, the output at the end is often the fellowship route. There's not really one type of fellowship that that our residents go into. There's a huge variety year after year. Some years a little bit more into one versus another, but just as an example, in the last year or two, I mean, we've had people go into colorectal, thoracic, surgical oncology, MIS, I'm probably skipping a few. There's been some ICU critical care people, one or two have gone into trauma, and really a bit of everything. We have those specialties at McGill. So a lot of the services that the residents will rotate on are usually either a mix of community type general surgery and some of the subspecialized programs, or sometimes a purely subspecialized area like hepatobiliary and transplant, or colorectal surgery and things like that. And so that tends to be the route that most of our residents take.
What's the ideal applicant or candidate look like to you? What kind of strengths and abilities, or what types of characteristics are you looking for in a prospective applicant?
So we have a pretty limited ability in terms of the number that we can hire, because in Quebec, this is regulated by the government. So each of the medical schools and their residency programs, numbers are dictated by the government. So for example, in the coming year, we only have three spots that we can offer through CARM. So the question you ask is very critical in terms of figuring out who would like to come to our program and also what we'd like from those people. The best applicants are probably the ones who have showed the most interest in general surgery, have very supporting letters of recommendation from the people that they've worked with, especially from surgeons. The ones who have come across in an interview as the type of people that we'd like to work with. So people that at the same time are driven and interested in general surgery, but also have a personality that we find easy to get along with. Someone that we'd love to have call us at 3 or 4 in the morning to discuss a case with us. And when you're talking about just admitting a few people, I mean, these things are really critical, because we know that we're limited a little bit by the numbers that we're allowed to take into the program. But we also feel it's extremely important to be fair to everyone who's applying and really make sure that the ones who are the most interested and the ones who will probably get the most out of our program are the ones that we match. So it's a combination of things. It's really what you've done leading up to the program, and also the type of interaction and communication skills and things like that that we would see as you go through the program, in the year after or so.
I think we all know, having been, a lot of us, to Montreal many, many, many times, what that absolutely beautiful city you live in has to offer. But, you know, from a maybe a 30,000 foot perspective, what are some of the extracurricular or non-hospital based activities and opportunities that your residents get into typically?
On a normal non-pandemic year, obviously, we have a much better variety and offering of events. Montreal, as I hope you all know, is the coolest place in Canada. Not just the coldest, but also the coolest. And we're a city of festivals, we're a city of good food, we're a city of outdoor events, both in the summer and in the winter. And because our residents also are quite friendly with each other, they tend to organize some of these events too amongst themselves. They have a strong residency committee that plans extracurricular things in addition to academic retreats and things like that. We do biking in the summer, we do skiing in the winter, and everything in between. We're a home to a hugely popular restaurant scene with very exciting exciting types of restaurants. Obviously, this year, a lot of us are eating at home alone or with our families quite a bit. But the second we're allowed to, you know, we always break out and book a couple good restaurants. And for those who like skiing, I mean, we're definitely not going to ski like at Whistler or out west, but we have a lot of skiing that's really close to the city. So in the winter, they're skating like in the old port and things like that. And then, like I said about the festivals, we have the Jazz Fest and the different kind of types of music festivals. It's really a cool city to live in. And those of us who live here are here for a reason. And that's because of all these things. And the quality of life is generally quite good for a reasonably priced city as well, compared to a couple other places in the country. And so the residents usually really enjoy that.
I think cool and funky are definitely understated descriptors of Montreal. So good for your description there for sure. You know, I think the last thing we'd like to ask you in respect of your time and your program is if you could tell our applicants and our listeners maybe one or two things that might surprise them about the McGill program. You know, usually in a positive light, but really any light that you see fit.
I think coming right out of medical school, especially if you weren't at McGill for medical school, you'd probably be a little bit surprised by the level of independence that residents have when they start in their training. And I don't mean independence like just go and do stuff, but independence that with the supervision and teaching and everything that they acquire early on. They get to do quite a lot with the patients that they see, both in the emergency room, the operating room, clinics, and things like that. And I don't have a lot of experience with other programs in the country, but when you look at what our residents are able to do quite early in their training, it's actually quite incredible. And I think it's because we put a lot of trust and faith in the residents that allows them to be able to get to that skill level very quickly. The other thing is, I think that the family feel of the program will be quite surprising to someone who really hasn't been in the program for very long or wasn't at McGill and did a lot of rotations in our services, for example. The residents really are a friendly bunch and they get along well. And that's so important to their well-being and really making people happy in the program. And I think those are probably the two, if you're asking about surprises, the two biggest surprises.
Well, thank you again so much, Dr. Lieberman. The one question I thought we would just quickly sneak in there is, I'm sure it's a common question that you get, do applicants need to know how to speak French?
They do not. As I mentioned before, we take about 10 residents per year, and only three of them are through CARMS. So the others are all basically from the Middle East. And so the majority of our program actually do not speak French. That being said, there is an obligation to serve patients in their language, especially if they don't speak English, a language that they understand. And so we rely on translators, we rely sometimes on family members, but we also some of the other healthcare professionals to translate. So it is very important that people know how to get the word through to their patients that they're trying to explain. McGill does offer courses through Rosetta Stone and some others Lately, they've been free, and a lot of the residents do take up these opportunities. And it's always great to learn an extra language, but spending 5, 6, 7 years in a place, it is really nice to learn some of the language. And so most of the residents do use that opportunity to learn some French, but it's not mandatory. You also have to remember that Montreal is an extremely cosmopolitan and international city. And so about 40% of our patients speak French as a first language, about 40% speak English as a first language, and the other 20% speak a variety of other languages. And so there's an equally important emphasis on speaking with those patients with their translators and things like that. And so no, it's not obligated that anyone speak French. It's helpful. Like if I was to go somewhere else in Canada, if I didn't speak English, I'd probably pick up some of it pretty quickly as well. And that goes the same for any other country.
You've been listening to Cold Steel, the official podcast of the Canadian Journal of Surgery. If you like what you've heard, please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and feedback, so send us an email at podcast.cjs@gmail.com or tweet at us @CanJSurge. Thanks again.